It is such a pleasure to have Rick Polari here. I know some people who are musicians tell me that really what they are professional drivers, and they just every now and then stop that activity and take a break and play some music, and then they'll go back to their full-time job of driving. And Rick is one of those kinds of guys, and you're in for a real treat this morning if you're just tuning in, because Rick's going to share what the life of a traveling musician is like. He's going to do it in part with some songs from one of America's greatest, I guess we'll say one of, but it's almost doesn't need to be qualified, traveling musicians, who is Woody Guthrie. This is the centennial anniversary of his birth, and I think the first song you're going to hear is one of Woody's. This is Rick Polari.
How you doing, Larry? It's great to be here.
Thanks for being here.
Well, I've been doing some hard traveling. I thought you know. I've been doing some hard traveling way down the road. I've been doing some hard traveling, hard rambling, hard gambling. I've been doing some hard traveling, Lord. I've been doing some hard harvesting. I thought you know. North Dakota to Kansas City, way down the road. Cutting that wheat, stacking that hay, trying to make about a dollar a day. I've been doing some hard traveling, Lord. Well, I've been doing some hard traveling, I thought you know. I've been doing some hard traveling, way down the road. I've been doing some hard traveling, hard rambling, hard gambling. I've been doing some hard traveling, Lord. Well, I've been working that Pittsburgh steel, I thought you know. I've been pouring that red hot slag way down the road. Well, I've been blasting, I've been firing, I've been ducking that red hot iron. I've been doing some hard traveling, Lord. Well, I've been doing some hard traveling, I thought you know. I've been doing some hard traveling way down the road. I've been doing some hard traveling, hard rambling, hard gambling. I've been doing some hard traveling, Lord. When I've been laying that cool dark prison, I thought you know. I've been laying that hard rock hotel way down the road. What a mean old judge, he said to me, it's 90 days for vagrancy. I've been doing some hard traveling, Lord. Well, I've been doing some hard traveling, I thought you know. I've been doing some hard traveling way down the road. I've been doing some hard traveling, hard rambling, hard gambling. I've been doing some hard traveling, Lord. Well, I've been walking that Lincoln Highway, I thought you knowed. I've been hitching on 66 way down the road. I'm walking down the road with a worried mind. I'm looking for a woman that's hard to find. I've been doing some hard traveling, Lord. Well, I've been doing some hard traveling, I thought you knowed. I've been doing some hard traveling way down the road. I've been doing some hard traveling, hard rambling, hard gambling. I've been doing some hard traveling, Lord.
Hard traveling, Larry.
The Saturday Light Brigade, a great song. And do you remember when you first heard that song?
When I was 15 years old, Larry, I would be listening to Woody Guthrie and Leadbelly and Pete Seeger, and I would be dreaming. I'd be dreaming about what it would be like to be a musician and go out on the road. And it was like a romance that I had. I thought about all the places that I would see and maybe all the people that I would meet. And to my great delight, you know, that's exactly what happened. Took a long time.
Yeah.
But it's been like a musical passport. Music can take you to places that you can only dream about, things that you maybe see in a book. I can remember when I was a young kid, Larry. You remember those golden encyclopedia books?
Oh, I can't believe he said that. I'm going to – Andy, you can adjust that if you want. There's a slight little bit of hum that Andy's going to work on. Thank you. Oh, there we go.
Okay. Okay.
And we've still got you there. I think he found it. Yeah, it's funny. And I think maybe it's because this week officially it was announced about the Encyclopedia Britannica going out of print. And yes, the golden encyclopedias. Ricky had a set too. And there were these encyclopedias for kids. Hang on one second. Are you going to make a mic change, Andy, so I can hear Rick? Okay, I'll let you do that. And I'm sorry, Rick, it'll just take a second here to make an adjustment because we didn't want you to be accompanied by electronic hum. So that apparently didn't show up during the sound check but was showing up right there. So we'll make a moment while I tap dance here a little bit, and then it's actually going to sound
like that.
Oh, that's so much better. Thanks, Andy.
Well, you know, Larry, the encyclopedias. Looking at those encyclopedias when I was a child, I'm thinking about the states, all the different states, you know, and the state bird, you know, and learning about every state and wondering if I would get a chance to go and see those places. And I remember it was in South Dakota. It was in South Dakota that they talked about Wild Bill Hickok, and they talked about his death chair. And they showed this little, you know, picture of this chair. And you believe it or not, you go out to Deadwood, and there it is. There is this chair, whether it's the real chair or not. If it ain't true, it ought to be.
Yeah. Well, and we forget that life is about real things. I was thinking about the encyclopedia and how much fun it was to restrict yourself to one letter of the alphabet. You know, I'm just going to look at or even half a letter. I'm going to look at M-A through M, M-O. M-A through M-O. So I'll start with the mayor of New York City, you know, and read a pamphlet about Mayor LaGuardia, maybe. And then I'll go to Montana and read about Montana. And that's exactly all I'm going to do is learn about M things.
And then when you get a little bit older, you know, it was a World Book Encyclopedia.
Oh, yeah.
And then that was, you know, huge volumes. I mean, I think it's hard for you kids to understand what it was like, you know, when that was your main source of information. Was these encyclopedias, and you know, if you were lucky enough, you had your own set. But some people, they didn't have enough money to have their own set. They have to go to the library, and they'd sit there, and they would do their school reports, opening up the encyclopedia. And so it always has a fond place in my heart whenever I think of it. And when we're talking about that traveling, I brought an instrument, Larry, that is from South Dakota.
Yeah, this is a beautiful flute that is a Native American flute. It looks like an animal.
It does, doesn't it? It's this one is an elk. It has an elk on it. Boys and girls, you can't see it at home, but it actually was carved to look like an elk. And that's because the elk power is what makes this. This is called a love flute or a courting flute. Now, I learned how to play it out in South Dakota, out in Mobridge, South Dakota. And I had to sit through a traditional sweat lodge purification ceremony with a Native American. We sat in the sweat lodge and we prayed together. And that's how I learned how to play this instrument. And while we're sitting in the sweat lodge, he told me a little story about the creation of the flute. Would you like to hear it?
Absolutely.
Well, long ago, there was a young Native American boy, and he was very in love with this young girl. But he was also very shy, and he never had the words to tell her exactly what he felt in his heart. So she didn't know, and she just ignored him. He was so sad that he started walking deeper into the woods, and he came across a big elk. And this elk brought him deeper into the forest than he had ever been before and led him to an old cedar tree. Now, this tree was so old that its branches were hollow. And a magical thing took place all of a sudden, a big red-headed woodpecker perched on top of one of those old branches. And with its sharp beak, it started drilling through the wood. And then when the bird took flight, that branch broke off, and all of a sudden it started floating down through the sky, and the wind played a beautiful melody through it. Well, the boy came by, and he picked up the magic stick, and he brought it back home to his medicine man, and they asked him what this gift meant. Oh, the wise old medicine man said, "This is a gift from the Great Spirit, and it should be used in our love or courting traditions." He handed the boy the stick, and the boy blew into it. When he stopped, he noticed that the whole tribe had gathered around him, and that young girl that he loved so much was standing right next to him, and she had a big smile on her face, and he did too. But none of the other boys were smiling. They said, "Where'd you get that magic love flute from?" So he told him about the big bull elk, and about the old tree in the forest, and the red-headed woodpecker. And soon all the boys, they too went over, and they broke off a branch of the old cedar tree, and they started making love flutes of their own. And from that time, whenever a young Native American boy fell in love with a girl, especially on the Sioux reservation, you know, before it was a reservation, just a Sioux tribe, they'd have to make up a song for the woman that they loved. And if they liked that song, that meant that they liked him. But if the girl didn't like the song, forget it. It was over with. He'd have to start composing another melody for another girl. So I'll give you a little idea of one of those old songs. Okay, Larry?
I wonder if he got the girl.
Musician always gets the girl. Ask my wife.
Rick Pilleri is here. He's from Hinesman, right?
Hinesburg.
Hinesburg.
Vermont.
Vermont.
You know, and Larry, I wanted to follow up with that, you know, because we were talking about traveling. And so you travel around, and I was in all these different reservations and learning things from different people. And then I found the thing that I was really looking for was right back where I live. Sometimes you could travel all over the world, and then right in your own backyard, you find out exactly what you're looking for. Because there was a wonderful storyteller from the Abenaki tribe, and his name was Wolf Song. And Wolf Song was a great storyteller, and I wanted to learn a little bit about how to tell stories. And he said, "Rick, you know, I'd like to learn how to play the flute. So if you teach me what you learned about the flute, I'll teach you a little bit about telling stories." And so we struck up a good friendship, and it lasted many years. But unfortunately, he was older than me, and he passed away. Now, when Wolf Song passed away, they scattered his ashes at the top of Snake Mountain, which is not too far from my home, a big kind of mountain that's right at the very top. It doesn't have any trees. So when you look up to that rim, and that's where they scattered his ashes. And I was thinking about my friend and how it was important to remember the gifts that Wolf Song gave to me and so many others, and that it would be really nice to write a song about him. So I went out to Snake Mountain, and I looked up to that very top of that mountain, and I thought about my friend. And when he would tell a story, especially a long story, he had to make sure you're still awake, you know. So he would say, "Hey." Right in the middle of the story, you'd go, "Hey." And if you were still listening, you went, "Ho." And then he knew you were awake, so he continued telling the story. So I was sitting there, and I'm thinking about Wolf Song. I'm looking up to the top of the mountain, and I'm hearing, "Hey, ho, hey, ho, hey." And I decided I'd use that in the song. On Snake Mountain, in the Vermont hills, high above the rocks and rills, after midnight, when the moon's in spring, you can hear the wolf song sing. Hey, ah, 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 hey, hey. Oh, oh. Hey, ah, 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 hey, hey. Oh, oh. He was a man. He walked this land. And he came from Abenaki clan. He shared his stories, he shared his soul, reaching out to young and old. Hey, ah, 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 hey, hey. Oh, oh. Hey, ah, 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 hey, hey. Oh, oh. He held the legends, he kept the lore, and was welcome at every door. He heard the calling of the loons, then he left with the daughter of the moon. Hey, ah, 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 hey, hey. Oh, oh. Hey, ah, 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 hey, hey. Oh, oh. Now his journey in this world is through, but he still lives in me and you, like Usagabe and all his friends. Now his story shall never end. No, no, no. Hey, ah, hey, ah, hey, ah, we remember. Hey, ah, hey, ah, hey, hey. Oh, oh. Hey, ah, hey, ah, hey, ah, we remember. Hey, ah, hey, ah, hey, hey. Oh, oh.
Rick Pilleri at the Saturday Light Brigade. That's okay. Don't worry about that. Andy, you can grab, just let it fall to the floor, or Andy will grab that. You've got a chip on your shoulder.
I don't know. Who do I have there on my shoulder there?
that requires explanation. There's a display of CDs behind Rick.
that are falling on my head.
And one of them just happened. I think you're okay. One of them
just got excited.
Yeah, I think you hit the resonant frequency.
Yeah.
It's like that Ella Fitzgerald commercial where you sing and the glass starts to move from years ago.
I think that's the important thing about, you know, as a musician too, you know, is that we try to carry on things like the Woody Guthrie thing, or like the flute, but we also write songs. Mm-hmm. We write songs because we want to add something to the tradition.
Well, funny you should say that, because I was just going to ask you or just remark about yet another album was just released where people have taken Woody's lyrics that never were put to music, and released by some New York musicians that have created new tunes for his songs. And that's been done at least three times in a major way I know of. The Klezmatics did it, and Wilco did it, and it's really great.
Well, you know, the thing that you have to understand about Woody, I had the privilege of being in the Woody Guthrie archives and looking at the amount of material there.
He wrote all the time.
When I was there, they found the 3,000th song.
Wow.
And I think the kids listening, you have to understand about this man. This man was a very interesting fellow because he was a rambler, but he was a writer. He wrote a lot of wonderful songs, and he was an inspiration to a lot of our contemporary singer-songwriters, because before Woody, there was the singer, and there was a songwriter out in Tin Pan Alley, which was a place in New York where people would write songs. But Woody became the kind of model for the contemporary singer-songwriter, like Bob Dylan, all these people. They all got inspired from this curly-headed guy from Oklahoma, Woody Guthrie. And the problem with Woody was that he liked to ramble so much that he didn't stay home. It was hard on his family, but he wrote so many good songs. And he also had a limited amount of time. You see, he had he knew that in his family that there was this Huntington's chorea disease that was a really crippling disease that his mother had. And he watched his mother when he was young, you see. And he didn't know if he would get it, but he knew that that was always the possibility. So I think he tried to pack a lot of living into the time that he had. Because near the end of his life, you see, he couldn't write anymore. All he could do is blink his eyes for yes and no. And when I was at the archives, his daughter, Nora, showed me the signs that his wife, Marjorie, would hold up for yes and no. So this wonderful man who wrote so many songs, at the end of his life, didn't have any more words. And so it's wonderful that people are able to take those words and make them into new songs that he didn't have the time to finish. And if you don't mind, I'd like to share a little story. Because we're talking about, I wasn't planning on do this, but it makes sense to do it. I was at another exhibit of Woody's in New York City. I was invited to come there by Nora Guthrie, Woody's daughter. And she said, get there early because we'll have a lot of mementos from the house, from my childhood. They'll all be there and all of Woody's personal things. And I'll be in later on, she said. So I got there. It was in New York City. I went and I was walking around. And I saw this doll. It was a Raggedy Ann doll, but it was an African-American doll that really looked well used. And it was sending out like vibrations to me. And I tried to get away from it, you know, because it was kind of weird, you know, because I'm not usually attracted to that. But all of a sudden, I just kept looking at it, and it just looked like it had a soul, you know? And so when Nora finally came in, she was giving this big talk about all of Woody's personal things, and she walked right by that doll. Well, I was like, well, what about that doll? I said, it's been sending out all kinds of signals to me. I got to know about it. Oh, she said, you mean Rosalie? I said, Rosalie. She said, yes, that's a very special doll. She said, she told me a little story and I put it into song. See if I can remember it. Oh, Rosalie came calling to me. Wait, oh, Rosalie came calling to me one night when the chilly winds blew. Tattered and torn, this old black rag doll spoke in a voice Woody knew. I'll always be your Rosalie. Come and hold me in your strong arms. Whisper to me a sad memory. I'll keep you safe and warm. Chocolate brown face, stringy black hair, dressed in an old cotton gown. A present from Martha, Leadbelly's wife, to Kathy in old New York town. I'll always be your Rosalie. Come hold me in your strong arms. Whisper to me your sad memories. I'll keep you safe and warm. So it was Leadbelly's wife, Martha, made this beautiful doll for Woody's daughter, Kathy, who Kathy was his favorite, wrote so many songs for her. One day, Woody got a gig in New York. No, he was in New Jersey, that's right. He had to go out. Kathy just got a new pink dress, you see. She was dancing around. And Woody's wife, Marjorie, stepped out of the room just for a moment, just for a moment. She went to go get something from a neighbor. A spark flew from the radio and caught Kathy's dress on fire. By the time that Woody Guthrie came home, he saw his whole house was in flames. Now, Woody was tough, in his life seen enough of hard luck, trouble, and pain. With a smirk or a grin, he held it all in, then hit the old road once again. But the day Kathy died, he just lay down and cried, dried his tears in the sand. That night that he wept, he would never forget when he held on to Rosalie's hand. Oh, Rosalie, I'll always be safe in your black loving arms. Whisper to me a sad memory. I'll keep you safe and warm. I'll always be your Rosalie. Come hold me in your strong arms. Whisper to me a sad memory. I'll keep you safe and warm. Oh, Rosalie came calling to me one night when the chilly winds blew. Now, Nora told me that after Kathy passed on, that Woody kind of always thought of her whenever he looked at Rosalie. And when Woody was put in the hospital for Huntington's chorea, Rosalie sat in the bed with him. Wow. He said, it's not a story that hardly anybody knows. She says, now you know it, Rick, and you turned it into a song. And I guess, you know, for all of you children out there listening, you can see that sometimes life is hard. Hard things, difficult things happen.
You know, I've read at least half a dozen books about Woody Guthrie, including his own, and I've never heard about Rosalie. I'm really glad you wrote that song.
Well, it was. I didn't really have a choice in it because Rosalie was making sure of it. And it was funny because I get a chance to visit with Nora and her husband, Michael Clef, every once in a while. And she brings Rosalie out for me because after they put it in the exhibit, it's Nora's, you know, doll. Yeah. And so I'm really happy that I had a chance to tell that little bit of a story.
There are some things about Woody Guthrie that folks don't necessarily think about or realize. One is he was an incredibly patriotic person, fought in the or served in the Merchant Marines, but he really wanted to fight. You know, you think about folk singing often associated with pacifism, but he really, when World War II came, you know, sign me up. I want to get involved.
Right on his guitar, he had, "This machine kills fascists."
Yeah.
He was very, he loved this country. And yeah. You know, he wrote, "This land is your land," you know, because he, not just the country, he loved the people. He loved all people. Yeah. I think that was the thing about Woody Guthrie. I mean, he, you know, at the time, I feel like an old man here because I'm talking to the young kids out there. There was a time when, you know, it was hard for, there's a true story, okay, that my friend Pete Seeger told me. Gives you an idea of Woody Guthrie. All right, they were in Baltimore. They're raising some money against the war, okay? Or for the war, I think, is what it was at that time. They were raising money for the war, right? You know, to stop Hitler and stuff. And Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee were playing music with Woody at that time. And they're African Americans, you know, really talented people. Okay, so Woody and Sonny and Brownie, they all play. Everybody claps. Wonderful. Says, okay, Mr. Guthrie, we really are so happy that you sang for us. So you can sit here with our table, and we have a nice little table out in the kitchen for your friends. Woody said, you mean my friends are good enough to play for you, but they're not good enough to sit here at the table with us together? He walked over, and he picked up the table, and he knocked it down with all the food and everything. And he said, this war against fascism is going to start right here. And he knocked over every table. And then he told his friends we're leaving. And that was Woody Guthrie. Yeah. So you kids out there, when you hear Woody Guthrie, about stories about him, I want you to realize what this man was all about, that he was not just a guy who sang some pretty songs. He sang songs because he wanted people to understand that life was not always what we want it to be, but we can change it. We can make this a better world. Woody was always looking for that better world.
He was also really versatile. I mean, Woody was commissioned several times to be a commercial songwriter. You know, he wrote songs for the Grand Coulee Dam and a few other commissions where, you know, you talk about entrepreneurial spirit and what, you know, folks that end up having diverse things they do to make a living. Woody did that. He wrote a great book. He loved children and writing songs for kids.
So many great songs.
There's just so many dimensions to him. It's just amazing.
Well, kids, so that's it. I know you don't have your encyclopedias, but you do have your Google. So that's your assignment from old totem pole Rick here. I want you to open up your Google and learn more about Woody Guthrie. We have some time. I'd like to sing you another song.
Absolutely. And
we have.
We do, and it'll take just a...
I have a song here for the kids, and I was out traveling out in Montana when I was out in Montana. I was doing this big tour, Larry, and this is the early 90s, and I had a diesel rabbit car, which I wish I had today. It got 50 miles per gallon, but at the time, you had to go to a big truck stop to get fuel because they didn't have a separate pump for cars. And, you know, you had to go out and sit in a big line. I'd be there with big 20 semis, and there would be my tiny Volkswagen car. I went in to pay for my fuel, and the woman behind the cash register, she says, "Hey, bud, which rig is yours?" And I pointed to that little car, and she looked at me. She goes, "Honey, you're just a car. Well, you'll be a truck someday." So I wrote this song for all of us who sometimes feel small and insignificant. But the truth is that we all have the power to become big trucks. And kids, if you want to sing at home, it's pretty easy. The words are like this. You can go, bum, 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 bum. You're just a car, you'll be a truck someday. Bum, 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 then you'll be driving down your own highway. You won't be listening to what I say. You're just a car, you'll be a truck someday. There was a time when I was just like you. I could hardly tie my own shoe. Those were days I was bound to lose, when all I did was cry the blues. Ready, kids? Here we go. Bump, 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 bump. You're just a car, you'll be a truck someday. Bump, 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 bump. Then you'll be driving down your own highway. Bump, 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 bump. You won't be listening to what I say. Bump, 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 bump. You're just a car, you'll be a truck someday. Then I got older and life got worse, like I was under some evil curse. A lonely frog near a wishing well, waiting for a kiss to break my spell. Bump, 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 you're just a car, you'll be a truck someday. Bump, 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 then you'll be driving down your own highway. Bump, 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 you won't be listening to what I say. Bump, 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 you're just a car, you'll be a truck someday. Then one day I got the gift of song. My eyes opened when I sang along. The clouds had lifted, the night had gone. The first time I sang my own song. Bump, 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 you're just a car, you'll be a truck someday. Bump, 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 then you'll be driving down your own highway. Bump, 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 you won't be listening to what I say. Bump, 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 you're just a car, you'll be a truck someday. Well, I can't tell you, and I don't know which is the right road for you to go. Just live by the school that you were taught, and sing with the love that is in your heart. Last time. Bump, 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 you're just a car, you'll be a truck someday. Bump, 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 then you'll be driving down your own highway. You won't be listening to what I say. Bump, 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 you're just a car, you'll be a truck someday.
That sounds like a song that Woody Guthrie would write, actually.
Well, I'm sure that Woody has a big influence in my life. And, you know, it was when I wrote that song, it was really, really about my growing up in a lot of ways. You know, because before I found music, Larry, I felt kind of lost, like that frog at the wishing well, you know, just waiting for something to come along. And then when the music came along into my life, it changed everything. And it gave me this gift that I could share. Now, kids, when you're listening to me, you say, you know, you don't have to be the best singer or the best guitar player. You know, the main thing is you get out there and you try and you have fun and you share. That's what this kind of music is all about. It's not the same kind of music that you're going to hear on the radio or on your, you know, on your YouTube channel all the time. But this kind of music has been passed from one person to the next because, not because of what we call the big hype machine, it's because people like it. Yeah. And if they like it, they want to share it. And that's what it's all about, is sharing music together.
Yeah, it's fun. I think Woody would probably consider himself a, you know, average guitar player and an average, really, all around, singer and songwriter. I mean, he was masterful at making authentic observations from his perspective. And really, with all due respect to Woody, I think he would agree everybody can become masterful at that because that's, you know, you're the only one that can do it. Nobody else can do it.
All right. That song that he wrote, Ain't Nobody Can Sing Like Me, you know that one? Oh, great.
Yeah,
song.
Way Down Yonder in the Minor Key.
In the Minor Key. And that's one that Billy Bragg put the music to.
Yeah, and there's an example. In fact, that's a great song. And it's actually been covered by a few other people using Billy Bragg's melody. And thank goodness that Nora allowed those archives to be, you know, reanimated, so to speak.
Yeah. And, you know, Woody was, in his own words, he was a hobo. And a hobo, I think that the kids, you know, you hear this word, you might not really understand what it means. But basically, it was someone who worked and wandered.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a homeless person, necessarily. It was somebody who loved freedom, and they wanted to travel and they kept working. There was always work involved with being a hobo. Now, I think that the last time I was on, I might have sang this song, but I'd like to sing it again if we have time.
We do, and I was going to say we probably have time for one more. I wish we had more time.
All right.
But
we're going to talk a little bit about this song, you know. In my travels, I went and my friend Utah Phillips was a great songwriter and storyteller who I learned a lot of things from. He encouraged me to go down to Britt, Iowa and meet with some of the last of the old hobos. And I sat around with a campfire with them many times and listened to their stories. And you can learn a lot from a hobo, Larry. I'll tell you, you'd be surprised. They can teach you an awful lot if you just listen. Because a lot of them weren't hobos all their life. It was usually something they did for a period of time. And I'm talking about some of these really old timers who rode in the days of the steam train. Back in the Great Depression, they'd get on the train and then they would go and work and send the money home. Usually, the ones that I met, that's what they would tell me. Well, and a lot of them are not doing too well these days, and a lot of them are catching the westbound. Now, that's an old hobo term, kids, for it means when you catch the last train up to heaven, all right? You don't want to catch the westbound if you don't have to, you know what I mean? So one of my friends, Frog, it was a funny story. I'm not going to tell that story. I'm just going to sing the song. But this is a song I wrote for my friend Frog when I thought that he had passed away. All right, it's called Riding the Westbound. I live my life as a hobo. My only home is the old train. I've been a frog and a king. Lord, I've done everything. Now I'm riding on that westbound train. Let the jungle fires burn wild and free and pass my bottle around. Let the train whistle blow. Tell the old bows I'm a ridin' on the westbound. I slept in every old boxcar. I rode down every railroad line. I don't have to boast. I rode coast to coast. Now I'm riding on the old westbound. Let the jungle fires burn wild and free and pass my bottle around. Let the train whistle blow. Tell the old bows I'm riding on the westbound. Light a candle at the back of my boxcar and gather my good friends around. Let the old banjo ring while the hobos all sing. I'm riding on the westbound. Let the jungle fires burn wild and free and pass my bottle around. Let the train whistle blow. Tell the old bows I'm a-rotting on the westbound. Lay me down on a blanket of cardboard. Use my bindle to pillow my head. And when my body's gone, my spirit will ride on, riding on the old westbound. A young hobo hopped off a boxcar just outside of town. He found a quiet little jungle where he could lay his bindle down, gathered some dry firewood to brighten up the night. But when he struck his match, he saw an awful eerie sight. For the campfire glowed and sparkled with a brilliant rainbow flame, flickering and dancing like the headlight of a fast westbound train. And out of the smoke and cinders and through the fiery air came the ghosts of some old hobos he thought he met somewhere. They came and shook his hand, as all good hobos do. Then they offered up a spud or two, and they started boiling up a stew. Their calm and easy manner finally calmed that young bo's fright. He asked if they could jungle up together and spend the lonesome night. Each of us caught the westbound, one bo said with a tear. But we all come back to Pennsburg, if only once a year. In the third week in September, when fall is almost near, we hobo out of heaven. And we jungle up right here. You see, this old jungle is a mighty sacred spot where hobos came year after year and camped on this very lot. It was one of the best gatherings that you could ever find where hobos were respected and treated oh so fine. Well, it's September, when fall is almost near, we hobo out of heaven and we jungle up right here. You see, this old jungle is a mighty sacred spot where hobos came year after year and camped on this very lot. It was one of the best gatherings that you could ever find, where hobos were respected and treated oh so fine. Well, the moon started yawning, for it was almost dawn. The bows made up their packs and said they'd be moving on. Then there was a mighty whistle, and the campfire filled with steam, and all the hobos vanished like it was just a crazy dream. The young beau sat bewildered. He said, how could this really be? Is it something I've been dreaming of, or is my mind just fooling me? Then he looked into the fire, and what he saw he could not explain, for there were his hobo buddies riding on a fiery train. The train sounded one last whistle, and his hobo pals said so long. Then a magic wind blew the flames out, and the campfire light was gone. Young Bo packed his bindle. He walked down to the track. He hopped inside a boxcar, but he knew that he'd be back, for the magic in Pensburg's campfire still lives in all the hearts of every beau who went there and camped beneath the stars. And someday, in the future, when all of us are gone, a space-age traveler will light the fire, and the legend will live on. Let the jungle fires burn wild and free, and pass my bottle around. Let the train whistle blow, tell the old bows I'm riding on the westbound.
Rick Pilleri, thank you for being here. Look for Rick tomorrow, 4 o'clock, at the Friendship House Concert Series. And you can write to friendshiphouseconcerts@gmail.com, and make sure when you write that you ask for a list of other house concerts there and in the area. And Rick's website is really easy and great. It's banjo.net. Rick, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Larry. Thank you for having me on.
Join us again next week for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from Public Radio.